there. I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the Internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
It's a pleasure to welcome, and from Tel Aviv Live, is Bill Witsit, Vice Chair of the Greater Montana Foundation, Doctor of Philosophy in Public Administration from George Washington, host of this program. Talked with him a lot, and congratulations again, award-winning USS Montana Committee. Bill joins us from Tel Aviv. Good morning, Bill, and good afternoon or evening, I guess, to you there. Thanks for being here. What brings you to Tel Aviv? And then just describe what you're seeing.
Well, Tom, it is a pleasure to be with you and share a few thoughts and a few perceptions from here. We are here because we came over early for our son's wedding scheduled for Friday, which, of course, has since been put aside because of all of the disruption. And actually, this is not in Israel a time for celebration. So that'll have to come later. But we, our son had developed relationships with Israeli SEAL counterparts. He was a Navy SEAL and spent a lot of time in his last assignment with the counterparts in Israel. To make a long story short, he came back for a wedding of one of them and met a young woman who wondered where he came from, and he wondered where she came from because they all thought they knew the same Navy SEALs, and one thing led to the other. She lives in New York City, as does Brett now, where she's a lawyer with one of the big merger and acquisition firms, and Brett has his startup company. So one thing led to the other, and they decided to be married here in Tel Aviv, again, as I say, on Friday. So a number of family members and former colleagues of Brett's and friends have been here, and it's been a very difficult time.
I should mention Tel Aviv is going to be farther north, northeast of the Gaza Strip, separated maybe by what, 100 miles or so, Bill? Maybe less?
That's probably right. Mm-hmm. And we arrived early so we could spend some time just outside Tel Aviv with some dear friends of ours, and we were able to celebrate the joyous, at the time, Sukkot, the Festival of the Tents that commemorated the provision of God for the Israelis, or for the Jews, as they were in the desert for so long. And then Saturday morning, the siren sounded, and everything was changed.
You're looking at the expressions of family and friends, Israeli citizens. I know you can see it in their faces. Give us an update of what they're hearing and how they're addressing this horrible attack.
Well, it's devastating for the people of Israel, but everyone, it seems to me, is affected in one way or the other. We, even talking with a taxi driver who had three children who were called up immediately from the reserves for active duty and were sent to the north and the south, who said he just had to get out and drive his taxi because he would go crazy if he just sat watching the television all day. And people, everyone we've talked to has had such strength and such kindness to us, apologizing for us being here at this time and our coming to the conclusion that actually for us this is a very meaningful, powerful time that reminds us that there is real evil in the world and that we can't deny it, we can't put it aside. And we were able to, with our friends, before all of this began, actually tour Yad Vashem, the Israeli Holocaust Memorial. And one of the key messages there is, you know, at the time before the Holocaust, some of the leaders of the Nazi regime and others talked openly about annihilating the Jews. And one of the guides said, you know, we hear that today, and we do from some quarters, Iran and elsewhere. And so it's really such a sobering moment, such a devastating time to think about those who would kill such with such randomness, and it really is shocking, stunning. It's overwhelming.
The international response, I think, I don't know, not sufficient in my mind. What do the people of Israel think?
Well, they have a strong faith in the United States. They are, of course, our, in some respects, only real partner in this part of the world, to the extent that, they are. And we have to stand in solidarity with Israel and with the people here who are so strong, and who they will fight, and they are fighting. But it is also such devastation in terms of relationships, in terms of to families, and it just is so sad.
Their connection to the United States pretty strong. Are they reacting to the protests in the U.S.? I guess it's hard to fathom how they may perceive something, having been really pretty used to being under attack, I guess, and I don't mean to say that cavalierly, but the United States, I think, if we're their best partner, they may have some questions about our commitment there. Are they expressing any of that?
Not for the United States and the people of the United States. Good. At all. I think that they understand that there is an element in our society that is causing whatever the protests and things are. In fact, I had a friend say today that she really just couldn't even imagine or couldn't understand how anyone could be celebrating such a vicious, savage attack on anyone. And I mean, she was totally perplexed, as frankly am I. I don't understand it. And I think we need to be careful as a people that we never take something like this for granted, that we don't weeks or months from now or years from now forget that this is the kind of thing that is too close to the surface of our consciousness and can happen. And it's just astonishing that we're in this kind of a situation.
Bill Whitsitt, once again, up until his retirement in 2013, Executive Vice President for Public Affairs at Devon Energy Corporation. Just a lot of experiences. Bill, the Israeli people, as we kind of note that they're sort of used to this, that comes across a little bit loose. But what do you see there? I mean, what kind of security do you see there? Describe to us as much as you can how the people there do function.
Well, remember that we are in a place that is relatively safe, relatively calm, although just this afternoon we had four occasions where we had to go to the center stairwell shelter of our Airbnb building because the sirens went off and we could actually hear the thundering of the interceptor missiles taking out rockets that had been fired toward Tel Aviv. So it is something that is totally in everyone's consciousness. But when we joined for the first time the people in the shelter a couple of days ago, we had a couple of days where we didn't have any attacks. But when we first got to downtown Tel Aviv, to the central part where we are now, and joined the people in the shelter, everyone was aware of where we had come from or became aware and were so apologetic, as I say, that we had to be here during this time. But the resolve that they had and the resolve that we wanted to help reinforce was amazing. And already some members of our group that we were with had people that were being called up from the reserves and some of those, as I just mentioned earlier, have died already. And the hostages that were taken, there are connections everywhere with hostages that were taken or people who were killed in the southern part of Israel. And it's just unimaginable how all of this is going to resolve itself or be resolved, and how these people that are so wonderful here are going to be able to get through this without just tremendous heartache. And it is, just as I have said before, so sad.
Yeah, and that's we need to continue to support Israel, thoughts and prayers, and maybe even with a little more direct action than that. Bill, what do the citizens talk? What do they want done there? Gaza Strip has been a problem, but it was a solution to another problem. And then maybe have they talked about the Israeli response? There's discussion about, and a lot of people feel this way, of course, that's the spark plug, the Middle East. You could see a domino effect of aggression in a lot of other places. What's the discussion there?
Well, we're not hearing much of that kind of discussion because this is too new, too raw, and we're talking with individual citizens. So I hate to try to characterize any overall sentiment. But I will say, however this goes in the future, we can be sure that the Israeli people are going to remain strong, and we do need to support them, as you said. And I think the fact that we've already bolstered some forces in this region, including with the aircraft carrier strike group and aircraft and all of that, I think that's a huge attempt to deter others from joining in this conflict. But already I think we see some indications that there may be some involvement from the north by Hezbollah and others. And so it's a very troubling time and one that we have to take very seriously.
How are you? How's your immediate family and friends?
We're fine. I mean, our son and his fiance are devastated, but they're doing what they have to do to themselves get through this. I think everyone who has come here for the wedding that is not going to take place, of course, understands that this is just the most unusual and terrible set of events that have occurred. And this is not a time, as I've said, for celebration. So I think they're fine. In terms of safety, we're fine. We're along with other Israelis doing what the authorities want us to do. We're not in immediate danger. We're pretty far from where the actual fighting and attacks took place. But as I said, this set of incidents has really affected everyone that we've come in contact with, and I'm sure has affected everyone in Israel.
Yeah.
A very serious time.
Yeah, and affecting others as well, as it should. Bill, thank you so much. Be safe there. I look forward to chatting with you. I'll probably text you throughout the day, and you're taking a plane out of there on Friday, Lord willing.
That's right. So, if we don't talk before then, maybe after we're back in Big Fork, we can visit again, and if maybe we can visit in the meantime as well.
Get back safe and sound, and safety to all. And thank you, Bill, for checking in. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. And join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on local stations all across Montana.